Welcome to Happily Ever After is just the beginning. Keeping your relationship not just together, but happy, and we mean truly happy, is part art and part science. You've come to the right place. Here's your host, Leslie Dorries.
You know, I don't know anybody who gets married with the idea that they're going to get divorced. You know, they might be aware about the statistics, but honestly, they don't really think it could happen to them. And, you know, if they've been close to a divorce, you know, their parents got divorced, a sibling, maybe a good friend, you know, that knowledge might be there in the background. And often, those who are most impacted by someone else's divorce may promise themselves that no matter what, they will never go down that road. I got to admit, that was me. So, as you know, though, I don't believe that marriage and miserable should ever be used in the same sentence. And I also don't think that settling for a less than good marriage is a good idea. But if we're honest, sometimes stuff happens. And there are reasons that marriages end. Oftentimes, unfortunately, it is the choice of only one of the spouses. And this can be really, really challenging if you're the one who's been left behind. It can be really hard to know when to give up the fight. And it's hard to imagine sometimes moving forward or even knowing that you can. So, you know, there's all kinds of questions and concerns and fears around all of this, and it's hard sometimes to think about ever loving again. Maybe you want to, maybe you're scared. It's really kind of tough. So if you want another relationship and maybe even willing to take the plunge again on another marriage, how do you do it? Knowing that the divorce statistics are higher for subsequent marriages, what is it that you need to know the second time around? So to help answer that question, I'm joined by Lauren McKinley. She's the author of, I love this title, Stop Wrecking My Home, How to Come Out of a Broken Marriage in One Piece. And first off, I love the title because it's actually giving hope. So Lauren, thank you so much for joining us today.
Oh, thanks for having me.
You know, I like talking to people who've actually walked through the fire because, you know, I sometimes talk to other experts. Sometimes, you know, I talk to a lot of times I talk to writers, and it's usually with somebody who has a perspective that I think is really important. And, you know, you talk with really raw openness about the end of your first marriage. So can you share a little bit about what happened?
Sure. So my ex-husband and I had been married for just shy of 2 years when I found out that he was having an affair. We had been together for 5 years total with dating, engagement, and marriage. And it was right around our daughter's first birthday that I noticed he was just acting very strange. However, uh-huh. In my mind and to everyone who knew us, we had a really great marriage. I didn't notice anything wrong with the marriage other than just how strange he was acting. After a couple
right.
of months of the odd behavior and just patience on my part of when I was going to find out what was going on, I just told him, we need to talk about this.
just take the bull by the horns and go, okay.
Yes. Tell me straight. So right before we were about to have this conversation, he had left his cell phone on the entry ledge of our home and where we normally put our keys and our phones when we walk in. And I saw a message pop up, and honestly, it was very innocently that I looked down and saw mm-hmm. A text message from a mutual friend of ours, and it just said, you need to tell Lauren you're leaving and that you don't love her anymore.
Wow.
I know. Insert deep stomach sobbing, confusion, all the emotions you can imagine being greeted with that message. So,
Because you had a little one, too, which was really kind of...
Oh, yeah.
Adding to all of this.
Oh, my goodness. Right. Like you said, she had just turned one around this time period. So I couldn't, I mean, to top off who would ever have an affair, but who would have an affair when you have a brand new baby? It's just mind-blowing to me.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's not as rare as people think, because having a baby can change all kinds of things. But
yeah,
anyway, it still doesn't make it okay.
Yeah. So once I found out, I asked all the questions and heard, as I like to say it, the PG, the R, and the X-rated version of his story. It was something that started with this casual emails with a coworker, then turned to, okay, well, we had seen each other outside of work a couple times, but nothing happened.
Mm-hmm.
And then the final story was, of course, that they had been in a full-blown relationship for the past 6 months.
Wow.
Just everything you can imagine, every worst-case scenario. And once that version of the story came out, I just asked him to move out because I wasn't going to settle for that level of disrespect in my marriage.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted to make the marriage work, but he needed to decide what he really wanted, and I wanted to give him that time to decide what life he wanted.
Yeah, and you talk about that, you know, you talk about that you wanted to save the marriage, and that can come as a surprise to a lot of people where infidelity is an issue. So can you talk a little bit about what was behind that for you, other than the fact that you had this year-old child, which is a huge reason for wanting to try to make it work?
Well, as you said before, for me, divorce just wasn't an option. No one goes into marriage thinking that they are going to get divorced. And so in my mind, it was just, I was going to fight. I was going to do whatever it took. I was going to go to counseling, make the changes if he could tell me what he really needed from the marriage. I just wasn't ready to give up.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he ended up coming home after moving out. It was about 6 months later, and we did go through some counseling, and the emotional attachment he had to the other woman was just way too strong.
Mm-hmm.
And so I saw that even the counseling wasn't really helping us, because he wasn't willing.
Right, because he hadn't decided to end the relationship with this other person.
Well, in theory, emotionally he was still very
right
connected.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that time of seeking counsel and realizing that if I'm in this relationship, in this marriage, and this man is looking at me like I'm chopped liver and voicing that he does not want to stay married to me, that would ultimately be a very self-destructive situation. And it would wear on me and wear on me, and even though I did not want a divorce, I also didn't want this lifetime and this example of a marriage to my daughter of just a man that didn't want to be married to me.
Yeah, I mean, and doing what I do for a living, I see a lot of people who are not able to see their own value. Like, you were able to see that, you know, that you didn't want to be with somebody who wasn't going to love you the way you deserve to be loved. So how did you get there? I mean, because I think a lot of people struggle with that. You know, they bargain. It's like, if you just stay, then, you know, I'll never make any demands on you, or whatever it kind of bargaining people are doing.
Right. I think a lot of it came from just encouragement from family and friends, and reminding me that this is not the man you married. This is a man that is not treating you the way he vowed to at the altar.
Mm-hmm.
He's not respecting you. He doesn't respect you. And just remembering the value and what all that I brought to our marriage and all that I was willing to fight for to keep us together, and just the disregard he had for it. I think that was a lot of it, was I was putting in so much effort, even though I wasn't at fault, and he still wasn't receiving that effort and wanting to work on the marriage. And anyone who doesn't value that fight in their partner is just not someone that's healthy to be married to, you know, emotionally healthy. And just that instability was something that I didn't deserve.
Well, yeah, and this is why I talk about, you know, people not settling, because it might have, and I don't know whether you would know this, and I don't know whether it matters to talk about, but whether or not he would ever have been willing to settle. But the most important thing is that you weren't willing to settle, that having something less than what you deserved wasn't going to be okay with you. And even though it probably went against, like you said, when you got married, you took your vows seriously and you intended to follow through on them.
Right.
And all of a sudden it's like, whoa. And I think that's a really important thing for people to consider, and it's not an easy, doesn't sound like it was an easy decision for you to come to. So how did you get there?
Well, actually, after we had gone through the counseling and he had pretty much said divorce is our only option, and after that decision was made on his part, I was like, what am I going to do, you know, sit around forever? He wants the divorce. He doesn't want to stay married. He wants to move out once again. At that point, what do you do? You've done all that you can, right? You've given it your all. You've put forth your best effort. You've given it time. My big thing was, and I always tell women, don't rush. Give yourself the time. Give your marriage the time. You know, and we had this full year of being separated, going through counseling, him wavering back and forth. And then at the end of the year, he wanted the divorce, and I felt like, okay, I've done all that I can. And because he was so firm in his decision at the time, I just had to accept it, even though it wasn't the outcome I wanted. I needed to accept it for my own healing. Otherwise, if I were just going to fight and force him even more so into something he didn't want, I think it would have been more, I would have been faced with more insecurities than I already was.
Sure. And, you know, and it's a hard process. And I think that you're talking about and what process you went through, the idea that you would give it everything, that you really, really tried. And that's one of the things that I talk about, because, yeah, we can't stay married to somebody who doesn't want to stay married to us. I don't think, you know, no matter where you live in the United States now, some places it's easier to get a divorce than others, but at some point in time, the other person is always going to be able to end the marriage, and
Right. It's
kind of what happens in the meantime. And, you know, a lot of people trying to decide when to give up, trying to decide how much more to fight. And I know that when infidelity is on the table, there's a lot of hurt, justifiable anger. And it can be hard to decide in that moment that, no, it's worth seeing if we can make this work.
Right. And even with the affair, I was able to separate those emotions, because I feel like I was in survival mode where I just wanted the marriage to work. And I was like, we can deal with the trust issues that will come or that are here from the affair. But I just wanted the marriage to work so badly, because I knew its potential. And because I wanted our family together, I didn't want my daughter to have divorced parents. But I also didn't want her to see a marriage as a man that thinks it's okay to cheat on mommy. Like, you know, I wanted her
right.
to be a healthy marriage, a loving marriage. And that really helped in weighing my decision, or in helped me accept that divorce was our outcome.
Right. So this is Happily Ever After is Just the Beginning on webtalkradio.net. I'm Leslie Dorries, and I'm having an open and honest discussion with my guest, author Lauren McKinley, about what it takes to get through a divorce and come out on the other side. So, you know, you may be somewhere in this process. You may be finding that you're not happy in the relationship, things aren't going well, you don't quite know what to do, whether or not you should give up or whether or not you should continue to work. And if you know, if you're in that position, I really encourage you to reach out and get some help. I'd be happy to talk with you. As you know, I offer a free, no obligation, create your happily married, create your happily ever after marriage breakthrough session. You can call me at area code 919-927-0463, or you can send me an email at Leslie, L-E-S-L-I, at foundationscoachingnc.com. That's F-O-U-N-D-A-T-I-O-N-S, coaching, N as in Nancy, C as in Charlie.com. And, you know, reach out, get some help from me, from somebody, but try not to struggle through this on your own. It is a really, really hard thing to do, as I'm sure Lauren can attest. But, Lauren, you were able to decide that this wasn't going to be the end, that you wanted to have the marriage that you thought you were getting. So, you know, you talk a little bit in a blog post that I read about thinking that you were damaged because of this. And when I read that, my heart just broke, because it's like, no.
I know.
But how did you let go of that idea and realize that you could maybe find love again?
So our divorce took about a year and a half to finalize. So during that time, I really worked on the gradual detachment from my ex, healing my heart. I did not date at all. I spent a lot of time with wise women who had either gone through this or just who had a lot of encouragement for me.
Uh-huh.
I did a lot to just keep my mind and my spirit in the right place. And I think this really helped me in just the daily reminders of this happened to me. You know, I was a victim of an affair and the betrayal, uh-huh. but this does not have to define me.
Uh-huh.
During that time, I really prepared my heart, and some days were peaceful, some days were ugly, you know, but the process was just
right.
all about reminding myself that this is something that happened to me, but it doesn't have to be defining my future. And I think a lot of it, I always advise women not to rush into uh-huh. another relationship, or not to rush the grieving, because, you know, you're grieving the death of a marriage. So you go through the grief process the same way you do when you lose someone close with you. So...
Well, and I love that, because I talk about that too, and you know, people can get stuck, and many, many people, especially when infidelity has played a role, they can really get stuck in that anger. And mm-hmm. you know, one of the things that I try to tell people is you can't be angry and happy at the same time. You have to choose.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know, and sometimes that anger feels, I don't want to say good, that maybe that's not quite the right
but
word.
Justified. But justified.
Yeah, and comforting, and it's kind mm-hmm. of, and protective, because if I'm angry, then, you know, I can't be hurt again, because, of course, nobody's going to be able to get near you. It's like trying to hug a porcupine.
Right, right.
You. But people can get caught up in this, and I love the idea that you talk about taking the time to heal, because of course that's not a fun process.
No, it's not. Know? Like I said, some of those days were ugly. You know, they were not just all this, like, tranquil healing time of making yourself whole again. It's like you go through the losses, you see something that makes you sad, you get angry, you send a mean text message to your ex. I mean, it's a very long and broad process.
Well, but part of that is, and this is what I try to tell people, is that, yes, stuff happens. Absolutely, 100%, crappy stuff happens. And then it's, what do we want to do about it? And you perfectly describe what I define as the difference between a victim and a survivor. Mm. That the exact same thing can happen to two people, but one lets it define them, and the other one, the survivor, says, yeah, that's something that happened to me once.
Right, right.
And I'm not going to let that be the anchor in my life. And I think that what you did was very helpful, because there are a lot of people, and I tend to be one of them, that kind of just goes inward, but being able to reach out to people who've been through it,
mm-hmm.
I think, and people who, it sounds like people who loved you very much and, you know, wanted the best for you, probably weren't going to let you wallow too much. They probably let you go a little bit, but then it's like, okay.
Right. And that's another thing. It's just how long do you allow those insecurities to stay in your mind? With the triggers that come from, you know, thinking that you're damaged, or thinking, like, how did this happen to me? Why me? But mm-hmm. you need to process them and be honest with yourself about how you're feeling, but don't let them stay for too long. They shouldn't take up permanent residence there. You know, they need to leave. They can't take too much hold over, you know, your mental health and just your emotional health. Because, you know, I used to replay things in my mind all the time, and then I was realizing more and more how this was, it's not that I could have done this or could have done that. My husband decided to leave. He wanted
right.
a divorce.
He made some choices.
He made the decision, and that was no fault of mine. And so I think I just would have to remind myself of that, too. And then moving forward in the future, I would think, too, well, when I explain the situation to someone, that's how I'll tell them. My husband decided to leave. He gave up on the marriage.
Right. And I want to get to the fact that there is a happy ending to this story.
Mm-hmm.
Because you moved on and you did find love again.
I did.
And yes, which is wonderful.
I know.
But I know that one of the things that I have seen this, and I'm sure it probably crossed your mind on several occasions, is how do you not hold your current husband responsible for the choices of your past husband, and you get learning to trust again, learning to see this new person as a different person, even though I'm sure there have been trigger points.
Mm-hmm. I think a lot of it, and I will remind myself of this when the triggers do come, is I never want to punish my husband for my ex-husband's mistakes. It's not fair. He didn't mm-hmm. do any of those things, and he doesn't deserve to be punished for them. Now, there are those triggers that come up, and luckily he knows everything I went through, mm-hmm. and he knows how awful it was for me, and so he just wants to reassure and comfort me that if he has a text message and I look down at his phone, he'll show me his phone right away.
Mm-hmm.
And it's funny because that's such a, like, compulsive thing I got used to doing. Now it's less, obviously, but in the beginning it was just a habit. Same with mm-hmm. checking to see if his wedding ring was on, because mm-hmm. my ex-husband would always take his off.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like this habit I had, and all the time, you know, he just reassures me, and he is just there to make sure that I feel confident and loved in our relationship. So I feel very fortunate because he doesn't get weird about when I talk about the past, because mm-hmm. he knows that it was a really awful thing I went through. He just wants me to feel secure in our marriage, and he really does what he can to make that happen.
And that's really, really important, because I have something similar. I didn't experience infidelity in my marriage, but it happened in my parents' marriage. And my thing is about being abandoned, and so for me, the worst case scenario is my husband coming down the stairs and telling me he's leaving.
Right.
And he's never, no matter how upset with me he's ever been in our almost 32 years together, he's never threatened to leave, because he knows what that
right.
would do to me. And mm-hmm. this is one of those things, and your husband does it too, where when we share with our partners our hurts and our wounds, which will come out in a relationship, that they treat that information with such loving care, because
right.
they don't, you know, to me that's one of the signs of love, because I know a lot of people will say, well, you know, stepping into your husband's position, well, you don't need to see my phone because I haven't given you any reason, blah, 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 which would only make you more spun out, as opposed to, hey, here, honey, take a look.
Exactly.
And the fact that, and this is also true if people are actually trying to recover from infidelity within that same relationship, we still have to do those things. It's, what can I do? Is there something I can do to help make you feel more safe and secure? Now, obviously, we, as partners, we can't fill those holes for people.
Right.
But it's like you said, you did a lot of that work before meeting your current husband. So
exactly. And I always tell people not to rush in, because I feel that my heart and myself we're at a very healthy place when I started dating my now husband. We, you know, I'd spent almost 2 years on my own and just making myself whole again, and yet these triggers still come up. So mm-hmm. if you don't take the time to heal and then go into something new, I can't imagine the emotional ups and downs that would come up at that point.
So it sounds like what you're saying is that you're really, really getting, really healing yourself, and I do love that, is the key to being able to move on.
Absolutely.
Okay, and that sometimes you're reaching out for help with that is a good thing to do.
And waiting for the right man who will be there through those insecurities mm-hmm. and through those triggers, because they will come about, but you want the man who will love you well and quiet the insecurities and take the time that you need to process and talk with them and or talk about them and just deal with them with you, and not just, oh, well, that was the past, you know, I'm not like that, so you shouldn't feel that way. And you want the right man to help you through that in your new relationship.
Right. And it's not about helping you stay stuck, but it's about being able to sit in that discomfort of hearing about, you know, your pain, because I know most men, and I think this is true of women too, they don't want their partners to be in pain. So it's like, okay, just stop hurting. And it's like, well, oh gosh, if it's only that easy.
I know, I agree.
Wouldn't it be nice if we could just flip that switch?
Yeah, so I think waiting for the right man, and especially after you've gone through the trauma of a divorce, is so important, because you do have, I mean, everyone does have baggage from, like you said, either your upbringing or your past relationships, but you need the right person who will sift through it with you.
Right, and the person who's never going to purposely throw it in your face, which is a huge thing. And you know, real love feels safe.
Exactly.
Well, you know, and by the way, I'm just so thrilled that you've actually found somebody who treats you the way you deserve to be treated.
Thank you.
I think everybody deserves that. So
can you tell
people where they can get your book, where they, you know, maybe they're going through something similar. You know, maybe they just want to know how to heal themselves from whatever trauma they've gone through, and that actually finding happiness is possible.
Absolutely. So I would say that taking the time you need to heal is my biggest piece of advice to women who are preparing for their future post-divorce and post-affair.
Mm-hmm.
There's no hurry, and you really want your heart to be in a healthy place so that you can rebuild your life. And it doesn't have to be a life that is tainted by your past or mm-hmm. defined by your past. It's all about knowing that something happened to you that was unfortunate, and you're taking that and you're stronger and you're rebuilding this beautiful life that maybe you hadn't planned, but it doesn't make it second tier. I always say that. I'm like, this is not like second best to what your original plan was. This is better with a stronger version of yourself, and you mm-hmm. have these new qualities because of what you've gone through. And that really is a beautiful picture of just restoration from start to finish.
And that's beautiful. So where can they get your book?
You can find my book on Amazon, and it really is a great place. Again, the book is Stop Wrecking My Home, and it's a great place. You can read it pretty much at any point throughout the divorce process, either in the very beginning if you just found out your husband is cheating, to mm-hmm. the legality of the divorce mm-hmm. process, to moving on into life number two, as I call it. Anywhere you decide to pick it up, you can find something that will help you. And that was my hope for writing it, and I'm so encouraged that women have gotten so much from it.
Well, terrific, because, you know, things happen in life that are both unexpected and unwanted, and as you've heard today, what you choose to do about them is the key to your health and happiness. And yes, in the perfect world, it would be nice if they didn't happen, and denial is the first recognized stage of grief, but you do have the power to remake your life. You have the power to choose love again, and my advice to you is don't ever give that power away. So keep listening, and until next week, stay loving.